with me, thou wouldst speak, and then hear no reply. Sayest thou so? Now by the heaven above us, be sure of it, thou shalt smart for taunting me in this opprobrious strain. Bring forth that hated thing, that she may die forthwith in his presence, before his eyes, at her bridegroom's side. No, not at my side, never think it, shall she perish. Nor shalt thou ever set eyes more upon my face, rave, then, with such friends as can endure thee. Exit Haman. The man is gone. O king, in angry haste, a youthful mind, when stung, is fierce. Let him do or dream more than man. Good speed to him. But he shall not save these two girls from their doom. Dost thou indeed propose to slay both? Not her whose hands are pure, thou sayest well. And by what doom meanst thou to slay the other? I will take her where the path is loneliest, and hide her, living, in rocky vault, with so much food set forth as piety prescribes, that the city may avoid a public stain. And there, praying to Hades, the only god whom she worships, perchance she will obtain release from death, or else will learn, at last, though late, that it is lost labor to revere the dead. Creon goes into the palace. Love unconquered in the fight, love who makest havoc of wealth, who keepest thy vigil on the soft cheek of a maiden. Thou roamest over the sea and among the homes of dwellers in the wilds. No immortal can escape thee, nor any among men whose life is for a day, but he to whom thou hast come is mad. The just themselves have their minds warped by thee to wrong. For their ruin, 'tis thou that hast stirred up this present strife of kinsmen. Victorious is the love-kindling light from the eyes of the fair bride. It is a power enthroned in sway beside the eternal laws, for there the goddess Aphrodite is working her unconquerable will. Antigone is led out of the palace by two of Creon's attendants, who are about to conduct her to her doom. But now I also am carried beyond the bounds of loyalty, and can no more keep back the streaming tears when I see Antigone thus passing to the bridal chamber, where all are laid to rest. The following lines, between Antigone and the chorus, are chanted responsively.
See me, citizens of my fatherland, setting forth on my last way, looking my last on the sunlight that is for me no more. No, Hades, who gives sleep to all, leads me living to Acheron's shore. Who have had no portion in the chant that brings the bride, nor hath any song been mine for the crowning of bridals, whom the lord of the dark lake shall wed.
Glorious, therefore, and with praise, thou departest to that deep place of the dead. Wasting sickness hath not smitten thee. Thou hast not found the wages of the sword. No mistress of thine own fate, and still alive, thou shalt pass to Hades, as no other of mortal kind hath passed.
I have heard in other days how dread a doom befell our Phrygian guest, the daughter of Tantalus, on the Sipylian heights. I how, like clinging ivy, the growth of stone subdued her, and the rains fail not, as men tell, from her wasting form, nor fails the snow, while beneath her weeping lids the tears bedew her bosom, and most like to hers is the fate that brings me to my rest.
Yet she was a goddess, thou knowest, and born of gods. We are mortals, and of mortal race, but 'tis great renown for a woman who hath perished, that she should have shared the doom of the godlike in her life, and afterward in death.
Ah, I am mocked! In the name of our father's gods, can ye not wait till I am gone? Must ye taunt me to my face, O my city, and ye her wealthy sons? Ah, font of Dirce, and thou holy ground of Thebe, whose chariots are many, ye at least will bear me witness, in what sort unwept of friends, and by what laws I passed the rock-closed prison of my strange tomb. Ah, me unhappy, who have no home on the earth or in the shades, no home with the living or with the dead.
Thou hast rushed forward to the utmost verge of daring, and against that throne where justice sits on high, thou hast fallen, my daughter, with a grievous fall. But in this ordeal thou art paying happily for thy father's sin.
Thou hast touched on my bitterest thought, awaking the ever-new lament for my sire, and for all the doom given to us, the famed house of Labdacus. Alas for the horrors of the mother's bed, alas for the wretched mother's slumber at the sight of her own son and my sire. From what manner of parents did I take my miserable being? And to them I go thus, accursed, unwed, to share their home. Alas, my brother, ill-starred in thy marriage, in thy death thou hast undone my life.
Reverend action claims a certain praise for reverence, but an offense against power cannot be brooked by him who hath power in his keeping. Thy self-willed temper hath wrought thy ruin.
Unwept, unfriended, without marriage song, I am led forth in my sorrow on this journey that can be delayed no more. No longer, hapless one, may I behold yon day's star's sacred eye. But for my fate, no tear is shed, no friend makes moan.
Creon enters from the palace.
Know ye not that songs and wailings before death would never cease if it profited to utter them? Away with her, away!
And when ye have enclosed her, according to my word, in her vaulted grave leave her alone, forlorn. Whether she wishes to die or to live a buried life in such a home, our hands are clean as touching this maiden. But this is certain, she shall be deprived of her sojourn in the light.
Tomb, bridal chamber, eternal prison in the caverned rock. Whither go to find mine own, those many who have perished, and whom Persephone hath received among the dead? Last of all shall I pass thither, and far most miserably of all, before the term of my life is spent. But I cherish good hope that my coming will be welcome to my father, and pleasant to thee, my mother, and welcome brother to thee. For when ye died, with mine own hands I washed and dressed you, and poured drink offerings at your graves. And now, Polynices, 'tis for tending thy corpse that I win such recompense as this. And yet I honored thee, as the wise will deem rightly, never had been a mother of children, or if a husband had been mouldering in death, would I have taken this task upon me in the city's despite. What law, ye ask, is my warrant for that word? The husband lost, another might have been found in child from another to replace the firstborn, but father and mother hidden with Hades, no brother's life could ever bloom for me again. Such was the law whereby I held thee first in honor, but Creon deemed me guilty of error therein, and of outrage, ah, brother mine. And now he leads me thus, a captive in his hands, no bridal bed, no bridal song hath been mine. No joy of marriage, no portion in the nurture of children, but thus, forlorn of friends, unhappy one, I go living to the vaults of death. And what law of heaven have I transgressed? Why, hapless one, should I look to the gods any more? What ally should I invoke, when by piety I have earned the name of impious? Nay, then, if these things are pleasing to the gods, when I have suffered my doom, I shall come to know my sin. But if the sin is with my judges, I could wish them no fuller measure of evil than they, on their part, meet wrongfully to me.
Still the same tempest of the soul vexes this maiden with the same fierce gusts.
Then for this shall her guards have cause to rue their slowness.
Ah, me, that word hath come very near to death.
I can cheer thee with no hope that this doom is not thus to be fulfilled.
O city of my fathers in the land of Thebe, O ye gods, eldest of our race, they lead me hence. Now they tarry not. Behold me, princes of Thebes, the last daughter of the house of your kings. See what I suffer, and from whom, because I feared to cast away the fear of heaven.
Antigone is led away by the guards.
even thus endured Danae in her beauty to change the light of day for brass-bound walls, and in that chamber, secret as the grave, she was held close prisoner. Yet was she of a proud lineage, O my daughter, and charged with the keeping of the seed of Zeus that fell in the golden rain. But dreadful is the mysterious power of fate. There is no deliverance from it by wealth, or by war, by fenced city, or dark sea-beaten ships. And bonds tamed the son of Dryas, swift to wrath, the king of Edonias. So paid he for his frenzied taunts, when, by the will of Dionysus, he was pent in a rocky prison. There the fierce exuberance of his madness slowly passed away. That man learned to know the god, whom, in his frenzy, he had provoked with mockeries. For he had sought to quell the god-possessed women, and the bacchanalian fire, and he angered the muses that loved the flute. And by the waters of the dark rocks, the waters of the twofold sea, are the shores of Bosporus and the Thracian Salmedesius, where Ares, neighbor to the city, saw the accursed, blinding wound dealt to the two sons of Phineas by his fierce wife, the wound that brought darkness to those vengeance-craving orbs, smitten with her bloody hands, smitten with her shuttle for a dagger. Pining in their misery, they bewailed their cruel doom, those sons of a mother hapless in her marriage. But she traced her descent from the ancient line of the Erechthidae, and in far-distant caves she was nursed amid her father's storms. That child of Boreas, swift as a steed over the steep hills, a daughter of gods, yet upon her also the gray fates bore hard, my daughter. Enter Tiresias, led by a boy on the spectator's right.
Princes of Thebes, we have come with linked steps, both served by the eyes of one, for thus, by a guide's help, the blind must walk.
And what, aged Tiresias, are thy tidings?
I will tell thee, and do thou hearken to the seer.
Indeed, it has not been my wont to slight thy counsel.
Therefore didst thou steer our city's course aright.
I have felt and can attest thy benefits.
Mark that now, once more, thou standest on fate's fine edge.
What means this? How I shudder at thy message.
Thou wilt learn, when thou hearest the warnings of mine art, as I took my place on mine old seat of augury, where all birds have been wont to gather within my ken. I heard a strange voice among them. They were screaming with dire, feverish rage that drowned their language in jargon, and I knew that. They were rending each other with their talons murderously. The whir of wings told no doubtful tale. Forthwith in fear I essayed burned sacrifice on a duly kindled altar, but from my offerings the fire god showed no flame. A dank moisture oozing from the thigh flesh trickled forth upon the embers, and smoked and sputtered, the gall was scattered to the air, and the streaming thighs lay bared of the fat that had been wrapped round them. Such was the failure of the rites by which I vainly asked a sign, as from this boy I learned, for he is my guide, as I am guide to others. And 'tis thy counsel that hath brought this sickness on our state, for the altars of our city and of our hearths have been tainted one and all by birds and dogs, with carrion from the hapless corpse, the son of Oedipus, and therefore the gods no more accept prayer and sacrifice at our hands, or the flame of meat offering, nor doth any bird give a clear sign by its shrill cry, for they have tasted the fatness of a slain man's blood. Think, then, on these things, my son. All men are liable to err, but when an error hath been made, that man is no longer witless or unblessed who heals the ill into which he hath fallen and remains not stubborn. Self-will, we know, incurs the charge of folly. Nay, allow the claim of the dead. Stab not the fallen. What price is it to slay the slain anew? I have sought thy good, and for thy good I speak, and never is it sweeter to learn from a good counsellor than when he counsels for thine own gain. Old man, ye'll shoot your shafts at me as archers at the butts. Ye must needs practice on me with seercraft also. I the seer tribe hath long trafficked in me, and made me their merchandise. Gain your gains, drive your trade, if ye list, in the silver gold of Sardis and the gold of India. But ye shall not hide that man in the grave. No, though the eagles of Zeus should bear the carrion morsels to their master's throne. No, not for dread of that defilement will I suffer his burial. For well I know that no mortal can defile the gods. But aged Tiresias, the wisest fall was shameful fall when they clothed shameful thoughts in fair words for lucre's sake. Alas, doth any man know, doth any consider? Whereof, what general truth dost thou announce? How precious, above all wealth is good counsel. As folly, I think, is the worst mischief. Yet thou art tainted with that distemper. I would not answer the seer with a taunt. But thou dost, in saying that I prophesy falsely. Well, the prophet tribe was ever fond of money. And the race bred of tyrants loves base gain. Knowest thou that thy speech is spoken of thy king? I know it. For through me thou hast saved Thebes. Thou art a wise seer, but thou lovest evil deeds. Thou wilt rouse me to utter the dread secret in my soul. Out with it, only speak it not for gain. Indeed, methinks I shall not, as touching thee. Know that thou shalt not trade on my resolve. Then know thou, I know it well, that thou shalt not live through many more courses of the sun's swift chariot, ere one begotten of thine own loins shall have been given by thee a corpse for corpses, because thou hast thrust children of the sunlight to the shades, and ruthlessly lodged a living soul in the grave, but keepest in this world one who belongs to the gods infernal, a corpse unburied, unhonored, all unhallowed. In such thou hast no part, nor have the gods above, but this is a violence done to them by thee. Therefore the avenging destroyers lie in wait for thee. The furies of Hades and of the gods, that thou mayest be taken in these same ills. And, mark well, if I speak these things as a hireling, a time not long to be delayed shall awaken the wailing of men and of women in thy house, and a tumult of hatred against thee stirs all the cities whose mangled sons had the burial rite from dogs, or from wild beasts, or from some winged bird that bore a polluting breath to each city that contains the hearths of the dead. Such arrows for thy heart, since thou provokest me, have I launched at thee, archer-like, in my anger. Sure arrows, of which thou shalt not escape the smart. Boy, lead me home, that he may spend his rage on younger men, and learn to keep a tongue more temperate, and to bear within his breast a better mind than now he bears. The boy leads Tiresias out. The man hath gone, O king, with dread prophecies, and since the hair on his head once dark hath been white, I know that he hath never been a false prophet to our city. I too know it well, and am troubled in soul. 'Tis dire to yield, but by resistance to smite my pride with ruin, this too is a dire choice. Son of Menesius, it behooves thee to take wise counsel. What should I do then? Speak, and I will obey. Go thou, and free the maiden from her rocky chamber, and make a tomb for the unburied dead. And this is thy counsel? Thou wouldst have me yield? Yea, king, and with all speed, for swift harms from the gods cut short the folly of men. Ah, me, 'tis hard, but I resign my cherished resolve. I obey. We must not wage a vain war with destiny. Go thou, and do these things, leave them not to others.
Even as I am, I'll go. On and on, my servants, each and all of you, take axes in your hands, and hasten to the ground that ye see yonder. Since our judgment hath taken this turn, I will be present to unloose her, as myself bound her. My heart misgives me. 'Tis best to keep the established laws, even to life's end.
Creon and his servants hasten out on the spectator's left.
O thou of many names, glory of the Cadmean bride, offspring of loud-thundering Zeus, thou who watchest over famed Italia, and reignest where all guests are welcomed in the sheltered plain of Eleusinian Dio. O Bacchus, dweller in Thebe, mother city of Bacchants, by the softly gliding stream of Ismenus, on the soil where the fierce dragon's teeth were sown, thou hast been seen where torch flames glare through smoke, above the crests of the twin peaks, where move the Corycian nymphs, thy votaries, hard by Castalia's stream. Thou comest from the ivy-mantled slopes of Nisus Hills, and from the shore green with many clustered vines, while thy name is lifted up on strains of more than mortal power, as thou visitest the ways of Thebe. Thebe, of all cities, thou holdest first in honor, thou and thy mother, whom the lightning smote. And now, when all our people is captive to a violent plague, come thou with healing feet over Parnassian height, or over the moaning strait. O thou with whom the stars rejoice as they move, the stars whose breath is fire, O master of the voices of the night, son begotten of Zeus, appear, O king, with thine attendant Thyadus, who in night-long frenzy dance before thee, the giver of good gifts, Iacchus.
Enter a messenger on the spectator's left.
Dwellers by the house of Cadmus and of Amphion, there is no estate of mortal life that I would ever praise or blame as settled. Fortune raises and fortune humbles the lucky or unlucky from day to day, and no one can prophesy to men concerning those things which are established. For Creon was blessed once, as I count bliss. He had saved this land of Cadmus from its foes. He was clothed in sole dominion in the land. He reigned, the glorious sire of princely children, and now all hath been lost. For when a man hath forfeited his pleasures, I count him not as living. I hold him but a breathing corpse. Heap up riches in thy house, if thou wilt. Live in kingly state. Yet if there be no gladness therewith, I would not give the shadow of a vapor for all the rest, compared with joy. And what is this new grief that thou hast to tell for our princes?
Death and the living are guilty for the dead.
And who is the slayer? Who the stricken? Speak.
Haman hath perished. His blood hath been shed by no stranger.
By his father's hand, or by his own?
By his own, in wrath with his sire for the murder.
O prophet, how true then hast thou proved thy word?
These things stand thus. Ye must consider of the rest.
Lo, I see the hapless Eurydice, Creon's wife, approaching. She comes from the house by chance, happily, or because she knows the tidings of her son.
Enter Eurydice from the palace.
People of Thebes, I heard your words as I was going forth to salute the goddess Pallas with my prayers. Even as I was loosing the fastenings of the gate to open it, the message of the household woe smote on my ear. I sank back, terror-stricken, into the arms of my handmaids, and my senses fled. But say again what the tidings were. I shall hear them as one who is no stranger to sorrow.
Dear lady, I will witness of what I saw, and will leave no word of the truth untold. Why indeed should I soothe thee with words in which must presently be found false? Truth is ever best. I attended thy lord as his guide to the furthest part of the plain, where the body of Polynices, torn by dogs, still lay unpitied. We prayed the goddess of the roads, and Pluto, in mercy to restrain their wrath. We washed the dead with holy washing, and with freshly plucked boughs we solemnly burned such relics as there were.
We raised a high mound of his native earth, and then we turned away to enter the maiden's nuptial chamber with rocky couch, the caverned mansion of the bride of death. And, from afar off, one of us heard a voice of loud wailing at that bride's unhallowed bower, and came to tell our master Creon. And as the king drew nearer, doubtful sounds of a bitter cry floated around him. He groaned, and said in accents of anguish, "Wretched that I am, can my foreboding be true? Am I going on the woefulest way that ever I went? My son's voice greets me, 'Go, my servants, haste ye nearer, and when ye have reached the tomb, pass through the gap, where the stones have been wrenched away to the cell's very mouth. And look, and see if 'tis Haman's voice that I know, or if mine ear is cheated by the gods.' This search, at our despairing master's word, we went to make, and in the furthest part of the tomb we descried her hanging by the neck, slung by a thread-wrought halter of fine linen. While he was embracing her with arms thrown around her waist, bewailing the loss of his bride, who is with the dead, and his father's deeds and his own ill-starred love. But his father, when he saw him, cried aloud with a dread cry, and went in and called to him with a voice of wailing, 'Unhappy, what deed hast thou done? What thought hath come to thee? What manner of mischance hath marred thy reason? Come forth, my child, I pray thee, I implore.' But the boy glared at him with fierce eyes, spat in his face, and without a word of answer drew his cross-hilted sword. As his father rushed forth in flight, he missed his aim. Then, hapless one, wroth with himself, he straightway leaned with all his weight against his sword and drove it half its length into his side. And while sense lingered, he clasped the maiden to his faint embrace, and as he gasped, sent forth on her pale cheek the swift stream of the oozing blood. Corpse enfolding corpse he lies. He hath won his nuptial rites. Poor youth, not here, yet in the halls of death. And he hath witnessed to mankind that, of all curses which cleave to man, ill counsel is the sovereign curse." Eurydice retires into the house. "What wouldst thou augur from this? The lady hath turned back and is gone without a word, good or evil. I too am startled, yet I nourish the hope that, at these sore tidings of her son, she cannot deign to give her sorrow public vent, and in the privacy of the house will set her handmaids to mourn the household grief. For she is not untaught of discretion, that she should err. I know not, but to me at least a strained silence seems to portend peril, no less than vain abundance of lament. Well, I will enter the house, and learn whether indeed she is not hiding some repressed purpose in the depths of a passionate heart. Yea, thou sayest well, excess of silence too may have a perilous meaning." The messenger goes into the palace. Enter Creon on the spectator's left with attendants, carrying the shrouded body of Haman on bier. The following lines between Creon and the chorus are chanted responsively. "Lo, yonder the king himself draws near, bearing that which tells too clear a tale, the work of no stranger's madness, if we may say it, but of his own misdeeds. Woe for the sins of a darkened soul, stubborn sins, fraught with death. Ah, ye behold us, the sire who hath slain, the son who hath perished. Woe is me, for the wretched blindness of my counsels. Alas, my son, thou hast died in thy youth by a timeless doom. Woe is me, thy spirit hath fled, not by thy folly, but by mine own. Ah me, how all too late thou seemest to see the right. Ah me, I have learned the bitter lesson. But then methinks, oh then, some god smote me from above with crushing weight, and hurled me into ways of cruelty. Woe is me, overthrowing and trampling on my joy. Woe, woe for the troublous toils of men." Enter messenger from the house. "Sire, thou hast come, methinks, as one whose hands are not empty, but who hath store laid up besides. Thou bearest yonder burden with thee, and thou art soon to look upon the woes within thy house.
And what worse ill is yet to follow upon ills? Thy queen hath died, true mother of yon corpse, a hapless lady by blows newly dealt. O Hades, all receiving whom no sacrifice can appease, hast thou then no mercy for me? O thou herald of evil, bitter tidings, what word dost thou utter? Alas, I was already as dead, and thou hast smitten me anew. What sayest thou, my son? What is this new message that thou bringest? Woe, woe is me, of a wife's doom of slaughter headed on slaughter. Thou canst behold, 'tis no longer hidden within. The doors of the palace are opened, and the corpse of Eurydice is disclosed. Ah, me! Yonder I behold a new, a second woe. What destiny, ah, what can yet await me? I have but now raised my son in my arms, and there again I see a corpse before me. Alas, alas, unhappy mother, alas, my child! There, at the altar, self-stabbed with a keen knife, she suffered her darkening eyes to close when she had wailed for the noble fate of Megaris, who died before, and then for his fate who lies there, and when, with her last breath, she had invoked evil fortunes upon thee, the slayer of thy sons. Woe! Woe, I thrill with dread. Is there none to strike me to the heart with two-edged sword? O miserable that I am, and steeped in miserable anguish, yea, both this son's doom and that other's were laid to thy charge by her whose corpse thou seest. And what was the manner of the violent deed by which she passed away? Her own hand struck her to the heart, when she had learned her son's sorely lamented fate. Ah, me! This guilt can never be fixed on any other of mortal kind for my acquittal. I, even I, was thy slayer, wretched that I am, I own the truth. Lead me away, O my servants, lead me hence with all speed, whose life is but as death. Thy counsels are good, if there can be good with ills. Briefest is best when trouble is in our path. Oh, let it come, let it appear, that fairest of fates for me, that brings my last day, I best fate of all. Oh, let it come, that I may never look upon tomorrow's light. These things are in the future, present tasks claim our care, the ordering of the future rests where it should rest. All my desires, at least, were summed in that prayer. Pray thou no more, for mortals have no escape from destined woe. Lead me away, I pray you. A rash, foolish man who have slain thee. Ah, my son, unwittingly, and thee too, my wife, unhappy that I am. I know not which way I should bend my gaze, or where I should seek support, for all is amiss with that which is in my hands. And yonder again a crushing fate hath leapt upon my head. As Creon is being conducted into the palace, the leader of the chorus speaks the closing verses. Wisdom is the supreme part of happiness, and reverence towards the gods must be inviolate. Great words of prideful men are ever punished with great blows, and in old age teach the chastened to be wise. The End. Oedipus at Colonus. Dramatis persona. Oedipus, banished king of Thebes. Antigone, his daughter. Ismene, his daughter. Theseus, king of Athens. Creon, brother of Jocasta, now reigning at Thebes. Polynices, elder son of Oedipus. Stranger, a native of Colonus. Messenger, an attendant of Theseus. Scene, in front of the grove of the Eumenides. Enter the blind Oedipus, led by his daughter Antigone. Child of an old blind sire, Antigone, what region, say, whose city have we reached? Who will provide today with scant dole this wanderer? 'Tis little that he craves, and less obtains, that less enough for me. For I am taught by suffering to endure, in the long years that have grown old with me, and last, not least, by true nobility, my daughter. If thou seest a resting place on common ground, or by some sacred grove, stay me and set me down. Let us discover where we have come, for strangers must inquire of denizens and do as they are bid.
Long-suffering father, Oedipus, the towers that fence the city still are faint and far, but where we stand is surely holy ground, a wilderness of laurel, olive, vine, within a choir or songster nightingales are warbling. On this native seat of rock rest, for an old man thou hast traveled far.
Guide these dark steps, and seat me there secure.
If time can teach, I need not to be told.
Say, prithee, if thou knowest, where we are.
Athens I recognize, but not the spot.
That much we heard from every wayfarer.
Shall I go on and ask about the place?
Yes, daughter, if it be inhabited.
Sure there are habitations, but no need to leave thee. Yonder is a man hard by.
What, moving hitherward and on his way?
Say rather, here already. Ask him straight the needful questions, for the man is here.
Enter stranger. A stranger, as I learn from her whose eyes must serve both her and me, that thou art here, sent by some happy chance to serve our doubts. First quit that seat, then question me at large. The spot thou treadest on is holy ground. What is the site? To what god dedicate? Inviolable, untrod goddesses, dread brood of earth and darkness here abide. Tell me the awful name I should invoke. The gracious ones, all-seeing, so our folk call them, but elsewhere other names are rife. Then may they show their suppliant grace, for I from this your sanctuary will ne'er depart. What word is this? The watchword of my fate. Nay, 'tis not mine to bid thee hence without due warrant and instruction from the state. Now in God's name, O stranger, scorn me not as a wayfarer. Tell me what I crave. Ask. Your request shall not be scorned by me. How call you then the place wherein we bide? Whate'er I know, thou too shalt know. The place is all to great Poseidon consecrate. Hard by the Titan, he who bears the torch, Prometheus, has his worship. But the spot thou treadest, the brass-footed threshold named, is Athens' bastion, and the neighboring lands claim as their chief and patron yonder knight Colonus, and in common bear his name. Such stranger is the spot, to fame unknown, but dear to us its native worshippers. Thou sayest there are dwellers in these parts? Surely they bear the name of yonder god, ruled by a king or by the general voice. The lord of Athens is our overlord. Who is this monarch? Great in word and might? Theseus, the son of Aegeus, our late king. Might one be sent from you to summon him? Wherefore, to tell him aught or urge his coming? Say a slight service may avail him much. How can he profit from a sightless man? The blind man's words will be instinct with sight. Heed them. I fain would see thee out of harm. But by the looks, marred though they be by fate, I judge thee noble. Tarry where thou art, while I go seek the burghers, those at hand, not in the city. They will soon decide whether thou art to rest or go thy way. Exit stranger. Tell me, my daughter, has the stranger gone?
Yes, he has gone. Now we are all alone, and thou mayest speak to your father without fear.
Stern-visaged queen, since coming to this land first, in your sanctuary I bent the knee. Frown not on me or Phoebus, who when erst he told me all my miseries to come, spake of this respite after many years, some haven in a far-off land, a rest, vouchsafed at last by dread divinities. There, said he, shalt thou round thy weary life, a blessing to the land wherein thou dwellest.
but to the land that cast thee forth a curse. And of my weird he promised signs should come, earthquake, or thunderclap, or lightning flash. And now I recognize as yours the sign that led my wanderings to this your grove, else had I never lighted on you first, a wineless man on your seat of native rock. O goddesses, fulfill Apollo's word, grant me some consummation of my life. If haply I appear not all too vile, a thrall to sorrow worse than any slave, hear, gentle daughters of primeval night, hear, namesake of great Pallas, Athens, first of cities, pity this dishonored shade, the ghost of him who once was Oedipus.
Hush, for I see some gray beards on their way, their errand to spy out our resting place.
I will be mute, and thou shalt guide my steps into the covert from the public road, till I have learned their drift. A prudent man will ever shape his course by what he learns. Enter Chorus.
Ha! Where is he? Look around! Every nook and corner scan. He, the all-presumptuous man, whither vanished? Search the ground. A wayfarer, I ween, a wayfarer, no countryman of ours. That old man must have been. Never had native dared to tempt the powers or enter their demean. The maids in awe of whom each mortal cowers, whose name no voice betrays nor cry, and as we pass them with averted eye, we move hushed lips in reverent piety. But now some godless man, 'tis rumored, here abides. The precincts through I scan, yet wot not where he hides. A wretch profane, I search and search in vain.
I am that man. I know you near ears to the blind, they say are eyes.
Oh, dread to see and dread to hear.
Oh, sirs, I am no outlaw under ban.
Who can he be? Zeus save us, this old man.
No favorite of fate, that ye should envy his estate. Oh, sirs, would any happy mortal say, grope by the light of other eyes his way, or face the storm upon so frail a stay?
Wast thou then sightless from thy birth?
Evil methinks, and long thy pilgrimage on earth. Yet add not curse to curse and wrong to wrong. I warn thee, trespass not within this hallowed spot, lest thou shouldst find the silent grassy glade where offerings are laid. Bowls of spring water mingled with sweet mead. Thou must not stay. Come, come away. Tired wanderer, dost thou heed? We are far off, but sure our voice can reach. If aught thou wouldst beseech, speak where 'tis right. Till then refrain from speech.
Daughter, what counsel should we now pursue?
We must obey, and do as here they do.
Thy hand, then.
Here, O father, is my hand.
O sirs, if I come forth at your command, let me not suffer for my confidence.
Against thy will no man shall drive thee hence.
Shall I go further?
Aye.
What, further still?
Lead, maiden, thou canst guide him where we will.
Follow with blind steps, father, as I lead.
In a strange land, strange thou art. To her will incline thy heart. Honor whatsoever the state, honors all she frowns on hate.
Guide me, child, where we may range, safe within the paths of right. Counsel freely may exchange, nor with fate and fortune fight.
Halt! Go no further than that rocky floor.
Stay where I now am.
Yes, advance no more.
May I sit down?
Move sideways towards the ledge, and sit thee crouching on the scarped edge.
This is my office, father, Owen Klein.
Ah, me. Ah, me.
Thy steps to my steps. Lean thine aged frame on mine.
Woe on my fate unblessed. Wanderer, now thou art at rest. Tell me of thy birth and home. From what far country art thou come? Lead on thy weary way, declare.
Strangers, I have no country, oh, forbear.
What is it, old man, that thou wouldst conceal?
Forbear, nor urge me further to reveal.
Why this reluctance?
Dread my lineage.
Say.
What must I answer, child? Ah, well a day.
Say of what stock thou canst. What man's son?
Ah, me, my daughter, now we are undone.
Speak, for thou standest on the slippery verge.
I will. No plea for silence can I urge.
Will neither speak? Come, sir, why dally thus?
Knowest one of Laius's?
Ha! Who?
Seed of Labdacus.
Oh, Zeus!
The hapless Oedipus.
Art he?
Whate'er I utter, have no fear of me.
Begone!
Oh, wretched me.
Begone!
Oh, daughter, what will hap anon?
Forth from our borders, speed ye both.
How keep ye then your troth?
Heaven's justice never smites him who ill with ill requites. But if guile with guile contend, bane not blessing is the end. Arise, begone, and take thee hence straight away, lest on our land a heavier curse thou lay.
Oh, sirs, ye suffer not my father blind, albeit gracious and to ruth inclined. Knowing the deeds he wrought, not innocent, but with no ill intent, yet heed a maiden's moan, who pleads for him alone. My eyes, not reft of sight, plead with you as a daughter's might. You are our providence. Oh, make us not go hence. Oh, with a gracious nod, grant us the nigh despaired of boon we crave. Oh, hear us. Oh, hear. But all that ye hold dear, wife, children, homestead, hearth, and God, where will you find one, search ye ne'er so well, who scapes perdition if a god impel?
Surely we pity thee and him alike, daughter of Oedipus, for your distress. But as we reverence the decrees of heaven, we cannot say aught other than we said.
Oh, what avails renown or fair repute? Are they not vanity? For look you now, Athens is held of states the most devout. Athens alone gives hospitality and shelters the vexed stranger, so men say. Have I found so? I, whom ye dislodged, first from my seat of rock, and now would drive forth from your land, dreading my name alone. For me you surely dread not, nor my deeds, deeds of a man more sinned against than sinning. As I might well convince you, were it meet, to tell my mother's story and my sire's, the cause of this your fear, yet am I then a villain born, because in self-defense, stricken, I struck the striker back again? Even had I known, no villainy 'twould prove, but all unwitting whither I went to ruin. My destroyers knew it well. Wherefore I pray you, sirs, in heaven's name, even as ye bade me quit my seat, defend me. Oh, pay not lip service to the gods, and wrong them of their dues. Bethink ye well, the eye of heaven beholds the just of men, and the unjust, nor ever in this world has one sole godless sinner found escape. Stand then on heaven's side, and never blot Athens' fair scutcheon by abetting wrong. I came to you a suppliant, and you pledged your honor. O, preserve me to the end. O, let not this marred visage do me wrong. A holy and God-fearing man is here, whose coming purports comfort for your folk. And when your chief arrives, whoever he be, then shall ye have my story and know all. Meanwhile, I pray you do me no despite.
A plea thou urgest needs must give us pause. Set forth a weighty argument, but we must leave the issue with the ruling powers.
Where is he, strangers, he who sways the realm?
In his ancestral seat, a messenger. The same who sent us here is gone for him.
And think you he will have such care or thought for the blind stranger as to come himself?
Aye, that he will, when once he learns thy name.
But who will bear him word?
The way is long, and many travelers pass to speed the news. Be sure he'll hear and hasten, never fear. So wide and far thy name is noised abroad, that were he ne'er so spent and loath to move, he would bestir him when he hears of thee.
Well, may he come with blessings to his state, and me, who serves his neighbor, serves himself.
Zeus, what is this? What can I say or think?
What now, Antigone?
I see a woman, riding upon a colt of Aetna's breed. She wears for headgear a Thessalian hat, to shade her from the sun. Who can it be? She or a stranger? Do I wake or dream? 'Tis she, 'tis not, I cannot tell, alack. It is no other. Now her brightening glance greets me with recognition. Yes, 'tis she, herself, Ismene!
Ha!
What say ye, child? That I behold thy daughter and my sister, and thou wilt know her straightway by her voice.
Enter Ismene.
Father and sister, names to me most sweet. How hardly have I found you, hardly now, when found at last, can see you through my tears.
Art come, my child.
O father, sad thy plight.
Child, thou art here.
Yes, 'twas a weary way.
Touch me, my child.
I give a hand to both.
O children, sisters.
O disastrous plight.
Her plight and mine.
Aye, and my own no less.
What brought thee, daughter?
Father, care for thee.
A daughter's yearning?
Yes, and I had news. I would myself deliver, so I came with the one thrall who yet is true to me.
Thy valiant brothers, where are they at need?
They are enough, 'tis now the darkest hour.
Out on the twain. The thoughts and actions all are framed and modeled on Egyptian ways, for there the men sit at the lumen doors, while the wives slave abroad for daily bread. So you, my children, those whom I behooved to bear the burden, stay at home like girls, while in their stead my daughters moil and drudge, lightening their father's misery. The one, since first she grew from girlish feebleness to womanhood, has been the old man's guide and shared my weary wandering, roaming oft, hungry and footsore through wild forest ways, in drenching rains and under scorching suns, careless herself of home and ease. If so, her sire might have her tender ministry. And thou, my child, Willem, thou wentest forth, eluding the Cadmean's vigilance, to bring thy father all the oracles concerning Oedipus, and didst make thyself my faithful leaguer, when they banished me. And now, what mission summons thee from home? What news, Ismene, hast thou for thy father? This much I know, thou comest not empty-handed, without a warning of some new alarm.
The toil and trouble, father, that I have bore to find thy lodging-place, and how thou faredst, I spare thee. Surely 'twere a double pain to suffer first in act and then in telling. 'Tis the misfortune of thine ill-starred sons I come to tell thee. At the first they willed to leave the throne to Creon, minded well thus to remove the inveterate curse of old, a canker that infected all thy race. But now some god and an infatuate soul have stirred betwixt them a mad rivalry to grasp at sovereignty and kingly power. Today the hot-branded youth, the younger born, is keeping Polynices from the throne, his elder, and has thrust him from the land. The banished brother, so all Thebes reports, fled to the Vale of Argos, and by help of new alliance there and friends in arms, swears he will establish Argos straight as lord of the Cadmean land, or, if he fail, exalt the victor to the stars of heaven. This is no empty tale, but deadly truth, my father, and how long thy agony, ere the gods pity thee, I cannot tell.
Hast thou indeed then entertained a hope, the gods at last will turn and rescue me?
Yea, so I read these latest oracles.
What oracles? What hath been uttered, child?
Thy country, so it runs, shall yearn in time to have thee for their weal alive or dead.
And who could gain by such a one as I?
On thee, 'tis said, their sovereignty depends.
So when I cease to be, my worth begins.
The gods, who once abased, uplift thee now.
Poor help to raise an old man fallen in youth.
Whoever that be, 'tis for this cause alone that Creon comes to thee, and comes anon.
With what intent, my daughter? Tell me plainly.
To plant thee near the Theban land, and so keep thee within their grasp. Yet now allow thy foot to pass beyond their boundaries.
What gain they if I lay outside?
Thy tomb, if disappointed, brings on them a curse.
It needs no god to tell what's plain to sense.
Therefore they fain would have thee close at hand, not where thou wouldst be master of thyself.
Mean they to shroud my bones in Theban dust?
Nay, father, guilt of kinsman's blood forbids.
Then never shall they be my masters, never.
Thebes, thou shalt rue this bitterly some day.
When what conjunction comes to pass, my child?
Thy angry wraith, when at thy tomb they stand.
And who hath told thee what thou tell'st me, child?
envoys who visited the Delphic hearth.
Hath Phoebus spoken thus concerning me?
So say the envoys who returned to Thebes.
And can a son of mine have heard of this?
Yea, both alike, and know its import well.
They knew it, yet the ignoble greed of rule outweighed all longing for their sire's return.
Grievous thy words, yet I must own them true.
Then may the gods ne'er quench their fatal feud, and mine be the arbitrament of the fight, for which they now are arming, spear to spear, that neither he who holds the scepter now may keep his throne, nor he who fled the realm return again. They never raised a hand when I, their sire, was thrust from hearth and home. When I was banned and banished, what recked they? Say you, 'twas done at my desire, a grace which the state yielding to my wish allowed? Not so. For mark you, on that very day when in the tempest of my soul I craved death, even death by stoning none appeared to further that wild longing, but anon, when time had numbed my anguish and I felt my wrath had all outrun those errors past, then it was the city went about by force to oust me, respited for years. And then my sons, who should as sons have helped, did nothing, and one little word from them was all I needed, and they spoke no word, but let me wander on for evermore, a banished man, a beggar. These two maids, their sisters, girls, gave all their sex could give, food and safe harborage and filial care, while their two brethren sacrificed their sire for lust of power and sceptered sovereignty. No! Me they ne'er shall win for an ally, nor will this Theban kingship bring them gain. That know I from this maiden's oracles, and those old prophecies concerning me which Phoebus now at length has brought to pass. Come, Creon, then, come all the mightiest in Thebes to seek me, for if ye, my friends, championed by those dread powers indigenous, espouse my cause, then for the state ye gain a great deliverer for my foeman bane. Our pity, Oedipus, thou needs must move, thou and these maidens, and the stronger plea thou urgest, as the savior of our land disposes me to counsel for thy weal. Aid me, kind sirs, I will do all you bid. First, make atonement to the deities, whose grove by trespass thou didst first profane. After what manner, stranger, teach me, pray. Make a libation first of water fetched with undefiled hands from living spring.
And after I have gotten this pure draught?
Bowls thou wilt find, the carver's handiwork. Crown thou the rims and both the handles crown, with olive shoots or blocks of wool, or how? With wool from fleece of yearling freshly shorn. What next? How must I end the ritual? Pour thy libation, turning to the dawn, pouring it from the urns whereof ye spake? Yea, in three streams, and be the last bowl drained, to the last drop.
And wherewith shall I fill it, ere in its place I set it?
This too tell. With water, and with honey, add no wine. And when the embowered earth hath drunk thereof, then lay upon it thrice 9 olive sprays, with both thy hands, and offer up this prayer.
I fain would hear it, that imports the most.
That as we call them gracious, they would deign. To grant the suppliant their saving grace, so pray thyself, or whoso pray for thee, in whispered accents, not with lifted voice, then go and look back, do as I bid, and I shall then be bold to stand thy friend, else, stranger, I should have my fears for thee.
Hear ye, my daughters, what these strangers say.
We listened and attend thy bidding, father.
I cannot go, disabled as I am, doubly by lack of strength and lack of sight. But one of you may do it in my stead, for one, I trow, may pay the sacrifice of thousands, if his heart be leal and true. So to your work with speed, but leave me not untended, for this frame is all too weak to move without the help of guiding hand.
Then I will go perform these rites. But where to find the spot, this have I yet to learn.
Beyond this grove, if thou hast need of aught, the guardian of the close will lend his aid.
I go, and thou, Antigone, meanwhile must guard our father in a parent's cause. Toil, If there be toil, is of no account.
Exit Ismene.
Ill it is, stranger, to awake, pain that long since has ceased to ache, and yet I fain would hear,
what thing,
thy tale of cruel suffering, for which no cure was found, the fate that held thee bound.
Oh, bid me not, as guest I claim this grace expose my shame.
The tale is bruited far and near, and echoes still from ear to ear, the truth I fain would hear.
Ah, me, I prithee yield,
ah, me. Grant my request, I grant it all to thee.
Know then I suffered ills most vile, but none, so help me, heaven, from acts in malice done.
Say how?
The state around, an all-unwitting bridegroom bound, an impious marriage chain, that was my bane.
Didst thou in sooth then share a bed incestuous with her that bare?
It stabs me like a sword, that two-edged word. O stranger, but these maids, my own,
say on, two daughters, curses twain, O God,
sprang from the wife and mother's travail pain.
What then thy offspring are at once?
Too true, their father's very sisters too.
Oh, horror!
Horrors from the boundless deep, back on my soul, in refluent surges sweep.
Thou hast endured intolerable woe, and sinned.
I sinned not.
How so?
I served the state, what I had never won, that graceless grace by which I was undone.
And next, unhappy man, thou hast shed blood?
Must ye hear more?
A father's?
Flood on flood, whelms me that word's a second mortal blow.
Murderer!
Yes, a murderer, but no.
What canst thou plead?
A plea of justice.
How?
I slew, who else would me have slain? I slew without intent, a wretch, but innocent. In the law's eye I stand without a stain.
Behold our sovereign, Theseus, Aegeus's son, comes at thy summons to perform his part.
Enter Theseus.
Oft had I heard of thee in times gone by, the bloody mutilations of thine eyes, and therefore know thee, son of Laius. All that I lately gathered on the way made my conjecture doubly sure, and now thy garb and that marred visage prove to me that thou art he, so pitying thine estate, most ill-starred Oedipus. I fain would know what is the suit ye urge on me and Athens. Thou and the helpless maiden at thy side declare it, dire indeed must be the tale, whereat I should recoil, I too was reared.
Like thee, in exile, and in foreign lands wrestled with many perils, no man more.
Wherefore no alien in adversity shall seek in vain my succor, nor shalt thou. I know myself a mortal, and my share in what the morrow brings no more than thine.
Theseus, thy words so apt, so generous, so comfortable.